Chapter 55. Into the Deep. Servants boiled along the halls as Nynaeve ran, shouting frantic questions. They might not be able to sense channeling, but they had certainly felt the palace being torn half apart. She threaded her way through, just one more serving woman in a panic as far as they were concerned. Sayidar faded from her as she sped down corridors and across courtyards. Holding on to anger was difficult when she was increasingly uneasy for Elaine. If the Black Sisters had found her, who knew what they had beside the Balefire Tarangreal? The list they had been given certainly did not give a use for everything. Once she saw Leandrin with her pale honey braids, and Rihanna, with that white streak in her black hair, hurrying down a flight of broad marble stairs. She could not see the glow of Sayidar around them, but from the way servants cried out and leaped from their path, they were whipping a way clear for themselves with the power. It made her glad she had not tried to cling to the source herself. They would have picked her out of the throng in an instant by the glow, and until she had some rest, she was not up to facing either of them, much less both. She had what she had come for. They had to wait. The crowd thinned and disappeared by the time she reached the narrow hall on the west side of the palace that was the meeting place. The others were waiting for her beside a small bronze-studded door fastened with a large iron lock, including Amethera standing very straight, wearing a light linen cloak with the hood up. The Panarch's white dress might pass for serving woman garb if you did not look closely enough to see it was silk, and the veil that did not hide her face was certainly servant's linen. The sound of shouts came muffled through the door. Apparently the riot was still going on. Now if only the men were doing the rest of their part. Ignoring Aegyanin, Nynaeve threw her arms around Elaine in a quick hug.
I was so worried. Did you have any trouble?
Not a bit, Elaine replied. Aegyanin shifted slightly, and the younger woman gave her a meaningful look, then added, Amethera did cause a little problem, but we sorted it out. Nynaeve frowned. Trouble? Why would she give trouble? Why would you give trouble? That last was for the Panarch, who held her head high, refusing to look at anyone. Elaine seemed as reluctant. It was the Seanchan woman who answered. She tried to sneak off to rouse her soldiers to harry the Dark Friends out, after she had been warned. Nynaeve refused to look at her.
Do not scowl so, Nynaeve, Elaine said. I chased her down quickly, and we had a little talk. I think she is in perfect agreement with me now.
The Panarch's cheek twitched.
I am in agreement, Aes Sedai, she said hastily. I will do exactly as you say, and I will provide papers that should make even the rebels let you pass unhindered. There is no need for more talking.
Elaine nodded as if all of that made sense, motioning for the women to be quiet, whereupon the Panarch obediently closed her mouth. A trifle sullenly, but perhaps that was just the shape of her mouth. Clearly there had been some very odd goings-on, and Nynaeve intended to find the bottom of them later. The narrow hallway was still empty in both directions, but panicked shouts still echoed from deeper in the palace. The mob rumbled beyond the small door.
But what of you? Elaine went on with a frown. You were supposed to be here half an hour ago. Did you cause all of this? I felt two women channeling enough of the power to shake the palace down, and then a bit later someone did try to shake it down. I thought it must be you. I had to restrain Aegyanin from going to find you.
Aegyanin?
Nynaeve hesitated, then made herself touch the Seanchan woman's shoulder.
Thank you. Aegyanin looked as though she did not quite understand herself what she had done, but she gave a quick nod.
Mogadine found me, and because I was worrying about how to bring her out for trial, Gianna Kaida nearly took my head off with balefire.
Elaine gave a small squeak, and she hurried to reassure her. It didn't really come close to me.
You captured Mogadine? You captured one of the Forsaken?
Yes, but she got away.
There, she had admitted everything.
Conscious of all their eyes on her, she shifted uncomfortably. She did not like being in the wrong. She especially did not like being in the wrong when it was she who had pointed out that it was wrong in the first place.
Elaine, I know what I said about being careful, but once I had her in my hands, it seemed all I could think of was bringing her to trial. Taking a deep breath, Nynaeve made her voice apologetic. She hated doing that. Where were those fool men? I endangered everything because I didn't keep my mind on what we were about, but please don't scold me. I won't, Elaine said firmly, so long as you remember to be careful in the future. Egyanen cleared her throat. Oh, yes, Elaine added hastily. The waiting seemed to be getting to her. There were spots of color in her cheeks. Did you find the collar and the seal?
I have them.
She patted her pouch. The shouting outside seemed to be getting louder, and the shouts echoing down the halls were, too. Leandrin must be turning the palace upside down to find out what had happened. What is keeping those men? My legion, Amathera began. Elaine looked at her and she snapped her mouth shut. Whatever talk they had had must have been something. The Panarch was pouting like a girl afraid of being sent to bed without supper. Nynaeve glanced at Egyanen. The Shan Chan woman was watching the door intently. She had wanted to come after her. Why won't she let me hate her? Am I so different from her? Suddenly the door swung open. Juelin pulled two thin bent metal rods out of the lock and straightened from a crouch. Blood ran down the side of his face. Hurry, we must be away from here before it gets out of hand. Staring past him wide-eyed, Nynaeve wondered what he considered out of hand. Bail Domon's sailors, at least 300 of them, formed a semicircle too deep about the door, Domon himself waving a cudgel, shouting to encourage them. He had to shout for the roar that filled the wide street. Men jostled and struggled and shouted in a seething mass, barely held back by the sailors' clubs and staffs. Not that they were really interested in the sailors. Scattered through the crowd, clumps of mounted white cloaks swung their swords at men, crowding them with pitchforks and barrel staves and bare hands. Showers of stones fell around them, sometimes banging off a helmet, but silently in the uproar. A lone white cloak's horse suddenly screamed and reared and toppled over backward. It scrambled to its feet quickly, minus its rider. Other riderless animals dotted the mass of men. Was this what they had set off just to cover themselves? She tried reminding herself why, put her hand on her pouch to feel the Quaendiyar seal, the collar and bracelets, but it was hard. Men were dying out there, surely.
Will you women move? Tom called, waving for them to come out.
He had a bleeding gash over one bushy eyebrow, perhaps from a stone, and his brown cloak would not even do for the ragbag now.
If the Panarch's legion ever stops running, this could grow messy.
Amathera made a startled sound just before Elaine pushed her firmly out. Nynaeve and Egyanen followed, and as soon as all four women were out, the sailors folded in around them in a tight ring that began struggling away from the palace. It was all Nynaeve could do to keep her feet, jostled by the men who were trying to protect her. Once Egyanen slipped and nearly fell, Nynaeve caught her arm, helped her back up, and got a grateful grin. We are not so different, she thought. Not the same, but not all that different. She did not have to make herself smile encouragingly at the Shan Chan woman. The milling mass lasted several streets away from the palace, but once they broke clear, the narrow, twisting ways were almost empty. Those who were not actually involved in the riot seemed wise enough to stay clear of it. The sailors spread out a little, giving the women more room. Any straggler who looked in their direction got hard stares, though. The streets of Tancheco were still the streets of Tancheco. Somehow that surprised Nynaeve. It seemed that she had been weeks inside the palace. Surely the city should be different. When the babble began to fade behind them, Tom managed a quite elegant bow to Amathera as he limped along.
An honor, Panarch, he said. If I may be of any service, you have only to speak.
Shockingly, Amathera glanced at Elaine, grimaced slightly, and said, You mistake me, good sir. I'm only a poor refugee from the countryside, rescued by these good women. Tom exchanged startled looks with Juelin and Domon, but when he opened his mouth, Elaine said, Could we get on to the inn, Tom? This is hardly the place for conversation.
When they reached the Three Plum Court, it was scarcely less surprising to hear Elaine introduce the Panarch to Rendra as Thera, a refugee with no money who needed a pallet and maybe some work to earn her meals. The innkeeper shrugged resignedly, but as she led Thera away to the kitchens, she was already telling the woman what lovely hair she had and how pretty she would look in the right dress. Nynaeve waited until the rest of them were in the Chamber of Falling Blossoms with the door closed before saying, "Thera? And she went along? Elaine, Rendra will have the woman serving at table in the common room."
Elaine did not seem surprised.
"Yes, very likely."
Sinking into a chair with a sigh, she kicked off her slippers and began massaging her feet vigorously. It was not difficult to convince Amathera she should stay in hiding for a few days. It really isn't that far from "the Panarch is dead" to "death to the Panarch." I think seeing the riot helped, too. She doesn't want to depend on Andric to put her back on the throne. She wants her own soldiers to do it, even if it means hiding until she can get in touch with the Lord Captain of the Legion. I believe Andric is in for a surprise with her. It is too bad he doesn't surprise her. She deserves it.
Domon and Julin exchanged glances, shook their heads uncomprehendingly. Egyanin nodded to herself as if she at least understood and approved.
"But why?" Nynaeve demanded. "You may have been upset because she sneaked off on her own, but this? How did she manage that anyway, with two of you watching her?"
Egyanin's eyes flickered toward Elaine. So quickly, Nynaeve was not sure she had really seen it.
Elaine bent to rub the sole of one foot. It must have hurt. There was red in her cheeks.
"Nynaeve, the woman has no idea what the lives of the common people are like."
As if she did.
"She does seem to have a true concern for justice, I think she does. Yet it did not bother her at all that there was enough food in the palace for a year. I mentioned the soup kitchens, and she did not know what I was talking about. A few days working for her supper will do her good."
Stretching her legs under the table, she worked her bare toes.
"Oh, that does feel good. Not that she'll have many, I suppose. Not if she is to rally the Panarch's legion to pry Leandrin and the others out of the palace. A pity, but there it is."
"Well, she has to," Nynaeve told her firmly. It was good to sit down, though she could not understand the girl's concern with her feet. They'd hardly walked at all today. "And the sooner the better. We need the Panarch, and not in Rendra's kitchen."
She did not think there was any need to worry about Mogadine. That woman had had every opportunity to come into the open after she had freed herself. That still puzzled her. She must have been careless in tying off the shield. But if Mogadine had been unwilling to face her then, when she must have known Nynaeve was nearly exhausted, she could not think the woman would come after them. Not for something she seemed to think was not worth very much. The same did not apply to Leandrin, however. If Leandrin figured out half of what had happened, she would be hunting them.
"The justice of the daughter heir," Tom murmured, "may yet supersede the justice of the Panarch." There were men streaming in through that door as we left, and I think some had already got in the front. I saw smoke coming out of several windows. By tonight, little more than a fire-gutted ruin will remain. No need for soldiers to chase the Black Adja, and thus Thera can have her few days to learn the lesson you want to teach. You will make a fine queen one day, Elaine of Andor.
Elaine's pleased smile faded as she looked at him. Rising to pad around the table, she rummaged in his coat pockets for a kerchief and began dabbing blood from his forehead, despite his protests.
"Hold still," she told him, sounding for all the world like a mother tending an unruly child. "Could we at least see what we risked our necks for?" he said, when it became clear Elaine was going to do exactly as she wished. Opening her belt pouch, Nynaeve laid the contents out on the table, the black and white disc that helped hold the Dark One's prison shut,
the collar and bracelets that sent ripples of sorrow through her before she could lay them down. Everyone gathered close to stare. Domon fingered the seal.
I did own a thing like this once.
Nynaeve doubted it. Only 7 had been made. 3 were broken now, Quain Diyar or no. Another was in Moiraine's hands, 4 surviving. How well could 4 keep that prison at Shael Ghul locked? A shivery thought. Egyanin touched the collar, pushed the bracelets away from the collar. If she felt the emotions trapped in them, she did not show it. Perhaps that sensitivity came only with the ability to channel.
It is not an Idam, the Shanchan woman said. That is made of a silvery metal and all of one piece.
Nynaeve wished she had not mentioned Idam.
But she never wore the bracelet of one, and she did let that poor woman she told us about go.
Poor woman. She, this Bethamin, was the one who controlled women with an Idam. Egyanin had showed more mercy than Nynaeve would have.
It is at least as much like an Idam as you and I are alike, Egyanin.
The woman looked startled, but after a moment she nodded.
Not so different. 2 women, each doing the best she could.
Do you mean to keep on pursuing Leandrin?
Julin seated himself, arms folded on the table, studying the things there. Whether or not she is chased out of Tanchico, she is still out there, and the others. But these seem too important to leave lying about. I am only a thief catcher, but I would say these must be taken to the White Tower for safekeeping.
No!
Nynaeve was startled at her own vehemence. So were the others by the way they stared at her. Slowly she picked up the seal and replaced it in her pouch.
This goes to the tower.
But that... She did not want to touch the black things again. If those were in the tower, Aes Sedai might decide to use them just as the Black Odja had intended to control Rand. Would Moiraine, Swan Sanche? She would not take the chance. That is too dangerous to risk it ever falling back into the hands of dark friends. Elaine, can you destroy them? Melt them. I don't care if they burn through the table, just destroy them.
I see what you mean, Elaine said with a grimace.
Nynaeve doubted she did. Elaine believed in the tower wholeheartedly, but she believed in Rand, too. Nynaeve could not see the glow of Sidar, of course, but the intent way the girl stared at the vile objects told her she was channeling. The bracelets and necklace lay there. Elaine frowned. Her stare became more intent. Abruptly, she shook her head. Her hand poised hesitantly for a moment, close to one of the bracelets, before picking it up and dropping it again with a gasp.
It feels... it's full of...
Drawing a deep breath, she said,
I did what you asked, Nynaeve.
A hammer would be burning a puddle for the fire I wove into it, but it isn't even warm. So Mogadine had not lied. Doubtless she had thought there was no need, that she would surely win. How did the woman get loose? But what to do with the things? She was not going to let them fall into anyone's hands. Master Domon, do you know a very deep part of the sea?
I do, Mistress Almira, he said slowly.
Gingerly, trying not to feel the emotions, Nynaeve shoved the collar and bracelets across the table to him.
Then drop these into it, where no one can ever fish them out again.
After a moment, he nodded.
I will.
He stuffed them into his coat pocket hurriedly, clearly disliking to touch something that must have to do with the power.
In the deepest part of the sea I do know, near the Isle of Somera.
Egyanin was frowning at the floor, no doubt thinking about the Ilianer leaving. Nynaeve had not forgotten the woman calling him a properly set-up man. She herself felt like laughing. It was all but done. As soon as Domon could sail, the hateful collar and bracelets would be gone forever. They could leave for Tar Valon, and then back to Tyr, or wherever Al-Lan Mandragoran was. Facing Mogadine, realizing how close she had been to being killed or worse, only made her urgency to deal with him greater. A man she had to share with a woman she hated, But if Egyanin could look fondly on a man she once took prisoner, and Domon was certainly eyeing her with interest, and if Elaine could love a man who would go mad, then she could puzzle out some way to enjoy what she could have of Lan. "Shall we go downstairs and see how Thera is taking to being a servant?" she suggested. "Soon for Tar Valon. Soon."